The conductor sings his songs again. The passengers will please refrain. This train.
This is WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your dial. Also online at wavefarm.org/WGFC.
The Radio Witch Moon Hotline is now open for your good full moon vibrations. The full moon is a time to celebrate, take stock, harvest, and practice self-care. The next full moon is on Halloween, also known as Samhain, marking the end of summer and recognizing the dark months to come, celebrating and visiting with our dead, and dressing up as monsters to scare the real ones away. Dial 518-302-6067 and leave your message for the full moon before October 28th. Share your good news, favorite part of the summer, gratitude, wins, and celebrations. What has come to fruition? The Radio Witch Moon Hotline is standing by to collect your full moon messages for broadcast on October 31st. The number again is 518-302-6067.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk, Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Endless Garden in Hudson, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, everyone out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Tech Talk with Ralph and Bill. Our call-in numbers are 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. And I am looking at my co-host right now, who is, he has an Apple Mac that ages back to 1997 or something. And he thinks it's the newest and greatest thing. I, of course, being a PC guy, I'm always in the most advanced state. Good evening, Mr. Ralph.
Good evening, Mr. Bill. And if I could just point out, this is Ralph Benko and Bill, Mr. Bill. No, wait, Bill, what? Here on Tech Talk on WGXC in Acra, New York. And also, hello to the world through the World Wide Web, since we are also streaming all around the planet and through the technological virtuosity of WGXC. We will also be a downloadable podcast. But you got it here first. And we are here to answer your annoying questions or to express annoyance at your questions about technology glitches on things like computers, iPhones, Android phones, and apps. So if you have any questions about why something ain't working, it's probably Bill's fault. Ask him.
I cannot believe that you think it's my fault, but that's okay. Speaking of fault, the server, of which you are familiar with some of our websites that were down.
Well, actually, they may not be familiar, Bill. So
no, with you, Ralph, I don't want to get into the details. I'm just saying I just fixed a server today.
And what is a server? Isn't that Somebody who waits in a restaurant, yeah, brings you your food, yeah, takes your
I
order.
I fixed the server real good. I deleted a bunch of files so it wouldn't, so it could actually operate. So, you know, I'm going to start this out with, oh, we have Michael from Portland, Maine on line one, the UFO guy.
So, Michael from Portland, Maine, before Bill starts going off on some tangent or
inanity. I will be talking about TikTok news. I have a TikTok update. But go on, Michael. Good morning.
I'm the UAP.
Bring it on, Michael from Portland,
I'm
Maine.
I'm the UAP guy. I'm the UAP guy, not the UFO guy. My question tonight does sort of relate,
I think, the aliens.
To human UFOs.
I think the aliens.
I heard that SpaceX
maybe,
is talking about...
I just read on the internet that Portland, Maine is the fourth best place to move to in this virus and whatever.
So I'd say it's the first
he may
best.
Be just having
it's
way too much
here.
Fun in Portland, Maine to bother actually asking us the question. But Bill, don't give up yet.
He probably did the psychic mind meld with me and got the answer out of my head.
Can you hear me? Hello.
Other listeners. So, Michael from Portland, Maine, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. I don't know if Bill Collier, he's got earwax problems.
All right. Well, my question tonight does not have to do with UAPs. But it sort of does, human ones. So, I've heard SpaceX is planning in the future on building Starlink satellites and launching them around Mars so that Mars can have internet. And they said not only that, they want to connect the Martian internet, which they'll build, with the Earth internet. How on Earth would that work? I imagine that they're not going to rig a wire between the two internets.
Yeah, that's a really very interesting. I'm having a hard time. Maybe my ears are full of wax. What I'm hearing is that you're talking about are you talking about the 5G
Elon
system?
Musk is threatening to deport the internet to Mars and then connect the Martian internet to the Earthly internet. Michael from Portland, is that a fair summary of what you just said?
Yes, and the question is, how do you link the Martian internet with the Earth internet? I imagine they're not going to be rigging a wire between them, although I don't know.
Wouldn't be able to real-time interact in theory. Now, let's just be in theory because...
Wait a second. There is a 10-second lag based upon the speed of light between a radio transmission from Earth to Mars and another 10-second lag of a radio transmission from Mars to Earth. So what Bill is trying to say in his kind of earthling-ish sort of way is you can't have immediate interaction of signals, whether it's emails or...
Well, it's not 10 seconds. It's 5 to 20 minutes, depending on where Mars is at the time.
You just made that, right?
No, I got it from NASA. See?
NASA?
Yeah, that little agency.
Yeah, okay,
so
there is...
So you wouldn't be able to interact in real time with the Mars internet, so you'd have to have one powerful data connection that beams in packets between the two internets, and so you can see archival stuff from the Earth internet if you're on Mars that might be 20 minutes old and vice versa, but we couldn't be having a conversation. I would send you a video and then I'd wait for your video to come back. It'd be kind of awesome. But, man, how would they – you're limited to a radio transmission, so, yeah, they would probably just have to send things in packets, like hyper-encoded so that this tiny bit of data that's a short burst of noise, of radio signal, gets translated to a whole bunch of data on the other end. That's how they would do it.
I can't wait for the Martian TikTok.
The Martian TikTok is going to be lit, but I heard that the president of Martian
the president of Mars is not feeling it. You know who the president of Mars is, don't you?
Yes, Bill Collier.
No. Although I should be. Come on, you don't know who the president of Mars is?
Valentine Michael Smith.
What is his name?
Everybody knows that the president of Mars is Valentine Michael Smith.
Here, look in the video, Ralph, and you'll see who it is.
That's Marvin Martian.
That's right. That's the president of Mars.
He is not the president of Mars. If you've ever read...
That was old school. I mean, he's advanced in the ranks. I know this is very good tech talk, Michael, but I need to ask you a question. Do you agree with me that Marvin the Martian is the president of Mars, or do you side with Ralph?
I'm a politician. I can't comment on that. But I will say, I hope that the acre of land I bought on Mars, I hope I can redeem that when we can get up there.
Very good. So you own land on Mars now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're selling acres on Mars for like $50 on Groupon.
Man, I mean, that's... Wow. Does it come with a bridge?
Yeah, but it's in Brooklyn, so I don't understand how that works.
Ah, yeah. Well, we all know the truth. You know the story of the George Washington Bridge that charge tolls leaving New Jersey. Because everybody wants out, you know, so ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump is right.
So do you have any other tech questions that are earthbound, Michael?
Before you get distracted, Bill,
I am not distracted.
Thankless job. Okay. There is very little, if any, reason to go to Mars, which is very far away, very cold, and it makes the worst deserts, the most inhospitable deserts in the United States, on planet Earth, look like a club, like a Club Med. So let me just clue you in, Michael from Portland. This is all a wonderful publicity stunt by Elon Musk, who knows how to mess with people's heads by appealing to their
I like Elon Musk. Do not talk about our Lord and Savior in that manner.
I thought Donald Trump was your Lord and Savior.
No, fickle creature. Elon Musk, you've been wrong.
Well,
you've been wrong.
Elon has somehow magically managed to quadruple his net worth this year in the middle of the coronavirus becoming from a ridiculously rich guy to a absurdly rich guy.
And I bought his stock when it was $400.
And it's now, $4?
No. Now they split it into four, and each of the 25% is worth over $400. So really what cost me $400 is now worth $1,600. I love that man. I love that man.
And he loves you based upon the W.C. Fields Law of Investors. There, quote, there's a sucker born every minute.
A sucker born every minute. Ba-dum-bum.
So, Michael, thank you for your wonderful extraterrestrial question. Bill is wrong. I'm right. That's kind of par for the course. He thinks it's Marvin Martian, who is simply a cartoon character, although a brilliant and compelling one, and I have basically woke him to the fact that Valentine Michael Smith from Stranger in a Strange Land, as anybody who has read Stranger in a Strange Land, the hippie Bible will tell you, is, if not the president, at least the king and sovereign ruler of Mars.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Looney Tunes was the original TikTok, and with that, I'm signing off.
Have a good one, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Michael, from Portland. We hope to hear from you again.
Ralph, okay, Bill, call in numbers, and then I'll give you the TikTok.
Well, you go right ahead, but I think you have you find that numbers are a bit of a challenge.
In a shocking bit of news,
government lawyers assert that the Trump administration does, in fact, have authority to ban Americans' use of TikTok, saying in a court filing that the popular Chinese-owned video-sharing app poses a national security threat because of its relationship with the Chinese government. So government lawyers have asserted that the government has all power. I am shocked. I was really not expecting that. So TikTok is still alive for now, and the lawyers are fighting it out in the court. But meanwhile, TikTok is still going strong. People are still doing the videos, and they're getting famous.
Have you gotten famous on TikTok, Bill Collier?
I do not do TikTok videos of any kind.
Well, Bill,
We have Larry.
No, you have Betty.
Hi, Betty. Okay.
Betty, Larry, you know, it's all kind of gender fluid.
No, there was another message that said Larry. Okay, fine. We'll talk to Betty. Betty sounds like a fine human being.
No, let's talk to Larry because he sounds like a fine human being too.
Yes.
Okay, who's on the line? Bring it on. Hello, caller.
This is Betty from Barsoom.
Betty from Barsoom, holy John Carter of Mars. Welcome, Betty from Barsoom.
I thought you'd recognize me.
Where's Barsoom?
Barsoom is the guy who wrote Tarzan.
No, the town of Barsoom, not the guy.
Edgar Rice Burroughs, come on.
The guy who wrote Tarzan also wrote a series of fantasy novels called John Carter of Mars. And in those novels, I have a bunch of actual first editions somewhere in my archives. And in those novels, he referred to Mars. Mars was referred to natively as Barsoom. So Betty from Barsoom, here we've been talking about your own home planet. And I hope you are here to set Bill Collier straight.
Well, we come in peace. I can just say that for starters.
Well, as long as Collier does not end up in your stew pot, I am willing to take that on faith.
Well, interesting that you mentioned stew pots because I have a question about bars and restaurants. I am setting up a bar and restaurant in a remote location, and I am going to want and need some kind of music for the place. And I am wondering the best way to get music in this modern age of everything being on the cloud and so forth. Do you get a high enough fidelity? Are there services that you can subscribe to? Are there massive file vaults somewhere that we can tap to get the kind of music that we want to produce the correct ambiance to encourage people to drink but not tear the place apart?
Oh, my God, she said ambiance. Collier, what are we going to do with Betty from Barsoom? She speaks French. French, that drives me wild, don't you know? Collier has disappeared. Falling
Luis
down
Gomez
that black hole
it.
Again.
Gomez couldn't stand it either.
Hold on, sorry. I don't know why you couldn't hear me. There are services out there that you can actually tap into. There's like a cloud cover music. A friend of mine used that for. It's not a bar, but it's like a restaurant convenience store thing. And what it does is it connects to their computer. They pick the ambiance that they want, and then the computer connects to a sound system in their building, and it just automatically loops through without repeating a bunch of different times the ambiance style that they're looking for.
Well, that's an intriguing proposition.
Pardon me?
That's intriguing. How do they? I mean, is this something that they've got all the rights settled through the international rights organizations?
Yeah. You spend like it's like $20 a month or something. It's not expensive.
Hmm.
And it just yes, because you're using the service and they pay all the rights, you can just go ahead and play the music, no problem.
Okay.
Is the sound quality good enough?
Say that. I can't hear.
Collier, are you saying you know the name of one of these services, or are you saying that you know that these services exist, but you don't know?
I did actually gave the name of the service, Mr. Benko. Cloud Cover Music at cloudcovermusic.com is the one that uses.
Well, thank you, because neither Betty from Barsoom nor I heard you then, but we've heard you now. So
yeah, I don't know
thank
what
you.
Was going on there. I think that the Martian invasion force is trying to block my signal.
That's a War of the Worlds kind of metaphor, and I'm very impressed by your erudition there, Collier. So, Betty from Barsoom, bottom line is all music is owned by the composer, the lyricist, and the singer, and so in order for you to play that commercially in your place of a public accommodation, you have to pay royalties, and I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that the royalty organizations are ASCAP and BMI, and they basically license all of the popular music that you would want to play in the background of your restaurant. But these have been processed in through digital companies who will provide you. You will pay them their subscription fee. They will beam in the music to your speakeasy or bordello, and they will remit the licensing fees. To your bordello or speakeasy, and they will remit the.
Yourself, Banco. Sorry, Betty. Ed, I didn't give him his meds today.
Yeah, well, I've heard rumors, and let's turn the tables here and ask Betty from Barsoom, that Barsoom is a libertarian paradise where things like speakeasies and bordellos are not merely tolerated, but they are exalted. And Betty from Barsoom, is that true? Is that true news about Barsoom, or is that fake news?
Absolutely. We have the Tanztafel is written into our national flag.
I'm sorry, you have the what written into your national flag?
Tanztafel, TANSTAFL.
Okay, say that again a little slower so that a geezer like me might be able to follow you.
TANSTAFL.
Oh, Tanztafel, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
Exactly.
Full marks. Okay, well, I'm glad that the libertarian utopia has finally been set up. I'm sorry it's so many tens of millions of miles away in such a cold and desolate place as Mars. But you got to start somewhere, and Peter Thiel would probably find himself at home.
Yeah, they have that, but they also have whatever the acronym from... There ain't no such thing as food, water, or air.
Yes, we need to come up with an acronym for that, too. Okay. Betty from Barsoom.
Well, thank you.
Did we answer your question satisfactorily or unsatisfactorily? If it was satisfactorily, you should thank me. If it was unsatisfactorily, you should roundly condemn Colleen.
Well, actually, I have to thank Chairman Bill this time because he provided a very concrete and practical answer.
Thank you. Callers,
all right.
And listeners, if you have to choose between Bill or Banco, give us a call and let us know who you choose. Ralph, could you give them the number?
I could, but I won't because I don't want to encourage callers now that you've doxed me and made given them the idea of calling 518-622-2598 and harassing me with impertinent questions. Listen, I answer pertinent questions. Impertinent questions are strictly to be directed to Collier.
Right. You only give impertinent answers.
I only give I specialize in impertinent answers. Okay, well, I'm hoping that we've had Michael from Portland and Betty from Barsoom. Who will come? Who will surprise us next with either a pertinent or pertinent question for Bill Collier or myself?
That's a very good question. We shall see very soon.
So, Bill, aside from...
Very soon, my friend.
Aside from your squandering away your life watching 12-second videos on TikTok, I was going to ask you if you heard any actual news, fake or otherwise, but call Spring is online for, and I think we should let them ask their question. Bring it on.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, it's Loretta from Cold Spring.
Oh, it says here in our notes, call Spring. That explains a lot. Cold Spring. Hello, Loretta.
I have a very earthly question for you. Not your knowledge of Mars notwithstanding. And my question is this. Do either of you have any experience with apps or software programs that can be like cataloging in your library?
Could you repeat the direct question, not the preamble, Loretta from Cold Spring?
Do you have any experience with apps or software programs that can catalog a library?
Apps or software programs that can catalog? You mean like a library of songs or?
If you have a lot of books and you want to make a catalog of them, are there apps or a software program that you could use?
Yeah, there's a number of different pieces of software that would allow you to do that. It really depends on what you're trying to catalog as far as how you, there's a lot of product catalog software that allows you to create product catalogs and a track. Are you talking about cataloging your collection of books or cataloging a collection of music?
Book.
Okay.
Well, Loretta from Cold Spring, don't let him off the hook that easy. Books, yes. I want him to answer that question, but I want him to answer my question, and that is I want to catalog my catalogs.
That's not going to happen. So as far as cataloging books, there are a number of different pieces of software. Now, is this catalog something that people are going to use or just for you to catalog your own books?
No, just for me. Just for me to catalog my own books by title, author, ISBN number, edition number, things like that.
Yeah, so I don't use one of these, and but they do exist. Like one is called LibIb, and it's basically software that, so you can go to your book if you have the software on your phone, and you scan the ISBN number, and it'll automatically put it in and fill out all of its information, and bada bing, bada bang, there that book is scanned in, and now you know that you have that book in your library. Then, of course, you can organize it.
Can you put other kinds of information in? Can you put in notes about your book? You know, thoughts about it?
Yeah,
whether you read it or not? Things like that.
Yeah, this allows you to share your thoughts, write notes. You can do books, music, video games. That's basically what's in it. So let's say you had the book and then you wanted to write, this is a great read. It reminded me of my childhood or whatever. You could put that note in there so that when you looked at that book on your phone, and you could even put a note like, it's in the third books, it's in the bookshelf on the upstairs hallway. I have a hallway that's filled with books upstairs. So I would probably write that. Like the third bookshelf over, So I would know where it is because I always forget.
So you could put the location of your book in there as well.
It would be like your note, a note, yeah.
So why don't you use this, Bill?
I do not know why I don't use it, but...
Bill doesn't use it because it's really not well adapted to coloring books.
Okay, he's just a little embarrassed to fess up before our millions and billions of listeners. Ain't that the case, Bill Collier?
No, that is not the case. And I am sure that that Loretta agrees with me that that is not the case. I don't know. I'm actually thinking about it right now. I mean, I'm looking at some books on the shelves now that I could just start scanning in. And yeah, that'd be awesome to be able to just look on my phone and see what books I have. You sold me.
and it would, so the one that you're talking about organizes by ISBN?
Yeah, but you can also just put the book title in. You don't, if you don't have an ISBN for like an old book. I mean, I've got some old books that are long before they had ISBNs.
Yeah, yeah. That's like what? Like 1970 or something like that?
I'm not sure. I think it's 1973 mm-hmm. or something like that, yeah. I mean, yeah. But I have... Huh.
What's it called, Bill? What's it called?
It is called Libib. L-I-B-I-B. Libib.
Libib. Huh. What a strange name.
It is.
Oh, Library ID. It's Library ID.
Ah, that's what it is. Yes, Library ID.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's
Library
good,
ID.
Know.
Oh,
somebody
that's so
was
cute.
Telling me about... Delicious Library.
Say this again.
Delicious Library.
I don't know about that one, but that sounds.
Yeah,
like
me neither. I just wondered if you used one.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds very, very chummy. Look, you sold me.
Okay,
I'm going to go
well,
get
thanks
the. I'm literally, it's. I'm on my phone. And I bookmarked it so I can go back to it and get myself organized here.
And I hear ya.
I mean, I think what I will do is I will pay somebody to come in with the tool and do all that for me.
Yeah.
Ralph, what are you doing next week? I got a job for you.
I'm kind of busy, Bill.
Oh, it pays plus, well. Ralph, remember I last time I paid you $6 an hour. I will give you $6.01 an hour.
Well, that's not a very compelling offer, Bill. Up your game.
Okay, 6:30.
You know, we're not going to conduct this bidding war under which you are lagging pathetically behind on the on air and on the internet. So, you want to make your final and best offer? I'd say, you know, at $1,000 an hour, you can absolutely have my services. Anything less than that, your chances of my getting to yes start to go down very quickly. So,
that is inappropriate. Very inappropriate.
No, it's totally appropriate.
Banco, you haven't made $1,000 in 2 years. I mean, come on.
I know, and you know.
Now's the time, right?
Now is the time, right? Time for me to up my game. So, basically, if I hear where you're going with this, Bill, you are prescribing a pathetically underpowered invasion through something through Siberia or something like Siberia in order to conquer the various widespread 12 time zones Russian Russian landmass. And you know what? It would be very interesting to see you try. But that said, you know, Genghis Khan, when he swept through the Russians conquering it, was stopped by that border, by that mountainous border with China. And I suspect that we would too.
Why
and
you have to pick on Genghis Khan?
I'm not picking on Genghis Khan. I'm offering him homage. Especially since my best girl and long-term fiance is related as the great 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 grandniece. I infer this from her name, from her patronymic, is the great 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 grandniece of Genghis Khan. So, you know, if Genghis wants to come back and or Kublai want to come back and reestablish some vestige of control, then I'd say they will be in the running for evaluation of who's got the best governance.
Yeah. Now, Mr.
Mirror on the wall in America today.
Listen, it looks like you have your earplugs in or earbuds.
Hey, full marks.
In your background, I can hear noise. Like, did you walk into a bar? This is Ralph, the Bankinator.
Yeah, you know, I didn't, but I sure feel like I should.
Well, you should, actually. I think it would do you some good. I don't recommend that people drink normally, but in your case, I'm going to make an exception.
Well, thank you, William, but I, you know, have never drunk normally, and I'm not about to start. If I'm going to drink, I'm going to drink abnormally, and that's all there is to it. And Frederick has the old brewery infrastructure, much of it's still in place, that it could actually harbor a schnapps renaissance of America to make America even greater than Budweiser. No, Heineken, one of your Germanic kind of beers. All we need to do, since we're up against a stagnant opponent, which is to say Germany, I'm sure we could dye our own, package it, send it to friends and family, and have enough left over to buy the average stray hobo a great big pint bottle for something like $1 million. So if you think you can top that, bring it on. If you think you can meet that offer or participate in the syndicate that creates that offer, we need to, Tavora is extremely punctilious when it comes to following both the law and the regulatory bodies. But this sure does sound to me like something that she has been engaged in various respects since 1906. Sounds to me like it's something where she has deep experience, deep domain expertise, and according to all of the people who talk about people who they know, she comes across as one of the most admired women in America, notwithstanding the fact that her likeness, her trophy, and her predecessor in this particular role was Lyndon B. Johnson. So, Bill, you're our native historian. What did I miss, if anything?
I don't know. I was not as closely following that as I could have, because I was peering ahead into the future and I was looking at self-driving cars.
Hey, got it. Well, I think that
also brought to you by my good friend Elon Musk.
Oh, I'm so pleased that you are showing Elon your due. So let's sweep back in, because
this week, our Lord and hero, I won't say Savior because that's sacrilege, our Lord and hero,
Ralph Benkow,
downloaded software to a group of drivers whose cars are going to steer better and accelerate without human hands or feet. I guess they have to use their heads or elbows, however they accelerate. But needless to say, self-driving cars are coming. They're almost here. Don't have flying cars yet, but we will have self-driving cars, so that when we get into accidents with each other, we can bring the software, which I already do.
Okay, well, you're a kind of Ruby on Rails kind of guy when it comes to software, right?
You know, that is a server-side software.
Yes.
That's an actual piece of software.
Yes.
I don't use it.
You're not old enough, but I remember punch cards.
I bet you do remember punch cards. I do remember when I was a kid, the punch cards for computers and how you would how they would, this is in the 70s, they would basically use them, tell the computer what to do. That's when we really started to get like the electronic, the computer generated bills, and they made some hilarious mistakes, you know, being computers and not people. So Banco, what was your first computer? What was your first computer, Mr. Banco? I think we lost his connection, but are you there? Yeah, I see your mouth moving, but you're not speaking. Ah. Well, Mr. Banco is muted, so I will handle this. I can say anything about Mr. Banco that I want to at this time. And if anybody wants to call into the show right now and have a Banco-free experience where they only talk to Bill, it's 518-697-7400. We are live on the air. 518-697-7400 or 518-622-2598. Call in right now. You're missing your opportunity because by the time his whatever gets fixed, we won't know what's going on there. So, all right. So we're going to go back to tech news and see what is actually going on in the tech world today. Yes, I would. Hello? Hello, this is Bill with Tech Talk. Go ahead.
Hello, Garrett Roach here. Good evening, gentlemen. I just wanted to call and say I'm getting a kick out of your discussion in general. I talked about owning property on Mars, and I'd just like to say I hope we can, if that's going to be the case for real, that we can bring positivity there and certainly have a different life closer to nature than what's developed here.
Yes, Garrett, that would be awesome. I think it's going to be interesting. They're going to want to terraform Mars at some point, right? But should we terraform Mars, or would that be environmentally irresponsible of us to terraform Mars? Should we just leave it as it is?
Well, whether we do or we don't, first we could correct what's occurred here on Earth. Then we can maybe spread that beauty onto Mars.
If you can correct what is here on Earth, I would be pleased to see that happen. How would we do that? Using pure technology, because this is Tech Talk.
What we want to use as a lady who's here in Hudson, who's started the Hudson Culture Coalition and the Founding 100, says one of the four pillars which are of the HCC, the Hudson Culture Coalition, are culture, environment, social justice, and human-centered technology. So we want to have the technology utilized for positivity and bringing people together, as opposed to the way it's going, which is one day only allowed to be social on social media. And that's not going to happen because there's so many good people out there yet who will join hands. As opposed to what was going on prior to this time, we want to have people, you know, when they were sitting across from each other and dunked out on their phones, we want to have the technology utilized to bring people together. So that's why the great aspect of it is you can communicate around the world. But we also want to have that connected, human-centered, where people can meet up in person through that as well. You know, they can connect through it, but not to have it as a replacement for a human contact.
Yeah, I believe that the next breakthrough, what we might call Web 3.0, is going to be not a single platform like Facebook or or Twitter, but it's going to be a series of niche communities connected through open source, but that are based on person-to-person relationships at the start. I call it virtual to local. So it's like basically they might connect through the app and then use that. It's beyond meetup though, like, but they would gather in person. They would get to know each other. Imagine like a lot of people just say, well, they don't have any friends or anything and they're lonely. Imagine instead of going on a date, you actually go in and find people that have affinities like you and that kind of meet your characteristics, that you can meet, have coffee, and decide to become friends. Literally an app that helps you make friends with new people, but people who have already been screened to make sure they're not axe murderers. Things like that, I think, are the future.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, as opposed to the good deal of negativity that's come out of Facebook, as you said, sir, that sounds terrific. Like, use it to connect with each other, but then also, like I say, to meet up in person, because there's many people where they say they'd rather text than speak on the phone, or that they'd rather text than meet up in person. And that's getting away from the human center to the technology. So what you're saying is like a people using the technology to regain what was being lost prior to this time. And I actually do see some people reaching out more now than prior to this COVID time.
Reaching out for each other. You know, with the COVID,
in person.
They can't gather in big groups, so they're kind of gathering in small groups. Yeah, they might be social distancing, but they're definitely more in need of human companionship.
Absolutely.
So, to me, that is the future. I mean, I see the internet becoming a mesh. I see, like, your neighborhood may have like a cooperative or something, and you guys may actually set up your own intranet with your own devices in your homes and stuff that connects to the internet, but that is still a private intranet just for your community, so that the stuff you don't want in that intranet, you don't have to have. If you don't want people that are nasty, filthy, talking garbage, you don't have to have it there. But on the other hand, you can go to the internet and, you know, it's the Wild West, that's fine. But at least you kind of have a place that you can turn that all off. Let your hair down, wear your dirty shirt in front of your friends. They don't care. They're not going to pick on you for the mustard stain, you know, but you wouldn't want anybody outside of your little group to see who you really are. And that's the thing. You see, you can't show the world who you really are because it creates vulnerabilities that people can exploit. But you need to be able to show somebody who you really are in order to get that nurturing and love that you as a human being need in order to actually be fully human. So
correct.
There's a balance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, sir.
So that's where I see the future of tech. I don't think that's necessarily inevitable, but I think if enough people catch a vision like that and they start to build these systems, I think that the departure from the meta systems will be pretty tremendous, but somebody has to start pioneering that.
Well, one thing is there's never been a better time to get back to nature like now.
Yeah, that's something that, I mean, I live way out in the middle of nowhere, so I love it. And I work virtually. I work. Most of the people I work with are New York, D.C., L.A. They're big city people. They're big city companies. And they all chuckle at me like, oh, you're out in the boonies. And like, yeah, my house cost me less than $100,000. And I have neighbors who know me. And yeah, I'm suffering. I can literally walk 1,000 feet up a hill, and I'm in the middle of a forest that runs solid for 10 miles. You can't beat that.
Super. Absolutely not. And if technology can be utilized to reconnect with Mother Earth and get back to that as well, then so be it. But just to, if it's used to reconnect with that, perfect. But there are many powers out there who are utilizing it to destroy the natural world and replace it with an artificial one.
Well, you understand that they don't know they're doing that. They don't think they're doing that. They think they're, it's probably.
And the other thing a technology can be utilized for is to bring people together in a sense of, like, remove the virus of the mind and the mask of hypocrisy, which was going on prior to this. Like the pandemic of, if the numbers are correct, 5 million children around the world per year die of starvation, and that's a lot higher number than COVID death, plus the people who are already addicted to prescription medications prior to this and being misdiagnosed.
Absolutely, yep.
And I think there's more and more people whose eyes will be open to this and to, you know, give out the love from their hearts to each other.
All right, Garrett, let me leave you with this thought, and I want you to think about this really hard, okay? Every idea
absolutely
that we cannot use in our personal life is perfectly useless. So many ideas people have, they imagine the world being this way or that way. Garrett, I encourage you. I like your attitude. I like your thoughts. I encourage you, go out this week, find two or three neighbors that will talk to you about these things, and get together and say, how can we do this right now with each other? Let's start with each other. You do that, and you will begin to experience the reality you imagine.
But Bill, if I can, speaking as an old Washington hand and a Washington insider, thank you so very much
for your encouragement there. I've actually been doing that as much as possible these past several years. I started what I call the positivity group, which isn't even a group, and it's international, but it's not even a group or a club per se that anyone joins. It's just what I named bringing people together through whatever means possible. Sure, technology somewhat, but also letter writing to postal pen pals or snail mail pen pals, as some call them, and just bringing people together locally as well.
And if you would like to leverage your influence by a factor of 10 or 100, let me just say that once you have your network put together, and your network might be only two or three, or it might be dozens or scores, then you should encourage them to find out who their members of Congress are and write them handwritten letters encouraging, telling them exactly what you, the voters, want them to be doing, want them to be attending to, and how they do that. You would be, after having spent, 30 or 40 years in Washington, I can tell you that the biggest open secret of Washington is the power of the constituents. If they actually express their wishes, their passions to the congressman or congresswoman by sending letters, making calls, sending emails, and staying on it, so it's not one and done. But if every month you and your network are willing to contact their members of Congress and tell them what you want them to be doing about what, you would be you might be astounded at just how much power you.
Well, many thanks for that. I actually have a letter from Governor Cuomo framed hanging on my wall that was sent to me this August, because I sent him to his office in Albany and he responded 2 weeks later. A photograph I took, it was on my birthday, I took the photo back in May of entering Albany with the egg in the center. And he thanked me for sharing my great photography with him. I had also invited him on my radio show on WGXC. I'm Garrett Roach, I host the Monday morning show, but I'm host on hold, as I say. My show's been on pause since the studios were closed the end of March. And I also invited him, if he wishes some time, to come on my podcast, The Roach, R-O-C-H-E, The Roach Solid Truth .breezy.site, B-R-I-Z-Y.site. And if he ever agreed to come on, I would certainly ask him questions that no one in the mainstream media ever would. And he sent a very gracious letter to me to the 8x10 photograph I sent him framed that I took with 35mm slide film.
Wonderful. Well, that's just more evidence that our elected officials really are responsive to the wishes of the voters, if the voters are willing to express those wishes to our elected officials, whether congressmen, senators, governors, state legislators, whatever it is. They can't read your mind. As long as you're willing to express that to them and regularly and consistently, you can amplify your power exponentially. So thank you so much for calling in and sharing your
spectacular.
Insights
thank you for having
listeners.
Me, sir. Have a wonderful night and keep on keeping on, my friend. Cheers now.
All right.
I will. I can't speak for Bill Collier, but I, for one, will keep on keeping on.
Yes, you will. Well, Mr. Benko, are you okay? Your techie, your tech went out.
My tech went out. Is tech anything like?
You've
tech
been
talk?
Off the air for a couple, for a hot minute.
Oh yeah. Well, I just pushed my mute button so that our listeners would not be distracted by the background ambient noise that's occurring here in my universe.
Well, all I can say is that it was a pure delight.
And scary for you to be out there all on your own, Bill. But you
no,
know,
it
you
wasn't scary.
Handled, you,
I will tell you,
you handled
this.
It very well.
But I will tell you this, Mr. Benko, in all sincerity, your camera went up, and I thought maybe something happened to you. And there for a hot minute, I was a little concerned that maybe the aliens had finally abducted you. And that, it would have been okay because I paid them to do it, but I wasn't expecting it at that moment.
Well, as Marvin Martian in Unforgettably said,
my hero, my personal
die
hero.
Earthling.
That's pretty much what he said. Yes. I wish I could do his voice. I'm going to have to listen to him, and maybe the next time we have the show. We only have 4 glorious minutes of airtime left. And
so why don't
I
we
encourage everybody.
Why don't we hit them with the call-in number of 518-622-2598. Maybe we have time for one more question.
No, they'll write it down for next week.
Okay.
I'm going to encourage everybody to be on next week. Listen to us live at 7. We will reveal the true secret of TikTok. The absolute true secret of TikTok. You will not hear it anywhere else but here. There you go. Thank you. So, in addition to TikTok news, we will have more tech news, and we will talk about the self-driving cars, and we will answer your tech questions. I would like more Apple users to call next week and tell us how terrible Apple is so that I can feel better about myself. And I would like Mr. Benko to
stop making fun of you for using an Android phone, right?
No, you're going to answer all the questions next week. We're going to play stump. We're going to say bank the Benko.
Okay, well, it's worth it. It's never been done, but there's a first time for everything.
And every wrong question you get, you have to send me $1,000.
Oh, I have an old Monopoly set down in the basement somewhere, and I'm happy to raid that for $1,000 bills and mail them off to you.
I have been in his basement, by the way, and it is filled with many things.
Many things of
absolutely.
As Ecclesiastes says, of making many things, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Something for which you can never be accused, Bill Collier.
Wow. That is incredibly sad.
I know. It's the Bible, but what would you know about the Bible? You're a Christian. We wrote it. We Jews wrote it. You Christians have been puzzled about it ever for thousands of years ever since. Good luck with that.
That is so awesome. That is very awesome.
It's beyond awesome.
Now I know why you're an Apple guy. It's true what they say about Apple guys being jerks.
Well, when your buddy the serpent offered my girlfriend Eve an apple in the Garden of Eden.
Folks, we are leaving the air in 9 seconds. It's been delightful.